And Reverend, my name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Center Church Congregation, now south of the 12th Hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is December 5, 2017, or the 6th through 18, 2021. We will start first service today with a song entitled, Under His Wings. Under His wings I am safely abiding. The night deepens and tempests are wild. Still I can trust Him, I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am His child. Under His wings, under His wings, from this world can save me. Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under His wings, what a refuge in sorrow, and a heart yearning returns to His rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, I find comfort and there I am blessed. Under His wings, under His wings, if any love can save. Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under His wings, oh precious enjoyment, there will I hide till life's trials are whole. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Yahshua, I'm safe evermore. Under His wings, under His wings, and from His love can sever. Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Rise of Israel and Fall of Babylon, Part 1. We're going to start a new series, and we're going to start with, let's start with Psalms 87. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon, unto them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopian, this man was born there. Actually, let's start with Exodus chapter 16, where we first is mentioned about Israel. This says at verse 31, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Now, let's go read the whole 16th chapter of Exodus to get our focus on what we're talking about here. The rise of Israel and the fall of Babylon. It says in Exodus 16, verse 1, and they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin. S-I-N. Which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. Now, what's the 15th day of the second month? That's the second Passover. They had the first Passover down in Egypt, coming out of Egypt with Moses and Aaron and Miriam. They were brought out on the 15th day of the first month. But there is a need for a second Passover, for mixed multitudes, and for others that are unclean, to take it in the first Passover. So there is a second Passover for those that are in journey and the wayfarer and so forth that want to come to Jerusalem to have the Passover or wherever the Israel is encamped at. And so on the 15th day of the second month after the departing out of the land of Egypt, didn't say that this is the second Passover, but that's the law of Moses calls it the second Passover on the 15th day of the second month. Just like the 15th day of the first month is the first Passover. And in Exodus 16, verse 2, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. It says the whole congregation. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to Elohim we had died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Yahweh unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people will go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even, then you shall know that the Yahweh hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Yahweh, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Yahweh. And what are we that you murmur against us? Okay, so now, Yahweh is just, he's just brought Israel out of the land of Egypt a month earlier. They've been 1 month now in the wilderness of sin. And this is the beginning of the rise of Israel. And the fall of Babylon. Because Babylon had fallen under Pharaoh when the children of Israel came out in the first month. A month earlier, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, which is simply, essentially, he was the number one power in power of the whole world over the children of Israel because he had them in captivity. In other words, Babylon has always been identified by different names down through the ages. In the Garden of Eden, the Babylon was identified as Cain. Cain represented Babylon. Babylon has always, like I said, been called by different names, but nevertheless, it's the same power personified by different kings and different nations. Egypt, for instance, personified Babylon with Pharaoh. The Pharaohs that knew not Yahweh. The Pharaohs that knew forgot about who the Yahweh of Joseph was. For the Pharaoh that knew Joseph cooperated with the powers of heaven, with the Yahweh of heaven. And he cooperated. And he appointed a Hebrew, Joseph, that was sold down in Egypt as a slave. He appointed him as the governor of Egypt because Yahweh was with him. And Pharaoh accepted that and honored that. So he was not an oppressive power. And Moses said in Exodus 16, verse 8, and Moses said, this shall be when the Yahweh shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that Yahweh heareth your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Yahweh. And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying, unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Yahweh, for he hath heard your murmuring. And it came to pass that Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of Yahweh appeared in the cloud. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, speak unto them, saying, at even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Yahweh your Elohim. And it shall come to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay around about the host, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wished not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Yahweh hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Yahweh hath commanded, gather of it every man according unto his eating, an omer for every man, according unto the number of your person. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according unto his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according unto his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, and he said unto them, this is that which the Yahweh has said, tomorrow is a rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Yahweh. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that you will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. Now this is what we need to follow today. We need to prepare our food on the preparation day, and that we don't do no cooking on the Sabbath. That we have all our food that we can lay out on the Sabbath day and eat it without any having to light or kindle a fire. We should not have to do that. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Yahweh. Today you shall not find it in the field. Yahweh supplied food from on 6 days, but on the seventh day, Yahweh is rested from all his labors, so he's not going to be supplying them with any food. He supplied them with enough on preparation day that they didn't have to do anything but just go to their pantry and pull out the manna and have their food all the day Sabbath. Now this is wonderful. Yahweh says, prepare your food on the Friday so that you don't have to be laboring in the kitchen on the Sabbath day. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for a together, and they found none. And the Yahweh said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my law? See, for that the Yahweh hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Yahweh commanded, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generation, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of the manna therein, and lay it up before the Yahweh to be kept for your generation. As the Yahweh commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is a tenth part of an ephah. That's what it says here in the sideline. About 2 quarts. An omer is a tenth part of an ephah. About 2 quarts. So it takes about 20 quarts then to make an ephah. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according unto the commandment of Yahweh, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. So, in Exodus 16:31, it says, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed. White, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Now, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? It had all the nutrition in it that you would need. Had all the nutrition in it. Okay. So, that ends chapter 16 of Exodus. Now, let's see what Yahweh has more about the name Israel. And we have to go all the way to Exodus chapter 40 and start with verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Now, what is the first day of every month? It's the new moon Sabbath. Every biblical month, first day is a holy day. Now, think about that. The first day of every month of the year is a holy Sabbath day. And thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil. Now, if the first day of the month is on Friday, for instance, you have a new moon Sabbath. And then the very next day you have the seventh day Sabbath. So you have two holy days right in a row. Because a new moon can come on any day of the week. When you have it that way, and the new moon can come on the seventh day Sabbath. First day of the month, but the seventh day of the week. And it can call it a high holy day when you have a double Sabbath. And it says in Exodus 40 verse 4, and thou shalt bring in the table and sit in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick, and light the lamps thereof, and thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the doors to the tabernacle. And thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt set the laver before the tent of the congregation, and the altar, and shalt put water therein. Actually, let's just go to fast forward to verse 38, which is the last verse of Exodus 40. It says, for the cloud of the Yahweh was upon the tabernacle by the day, and fire was on it by the night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeyings. Now, this is the key. When Israel is obeying and keeping the sanctuary, as we just read a little bit here in Exodus 40 about Moses setting up the sanctuary for Israel. Well, as a matter of fact, let's just go ahead and read this whole chapter, because this lays a preparation when we go into Deuteronomy chapter 4, for instance. We want to go there as soon as we can and read about that, because it talks about the great nation of Israel. what makes it so great. Okay, let's go back to Exodus chapter 40, and let's pick up verse 8, and thou shalt set up the court round about and hang up the hanging at the court gate, and thou shalt take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is therein, and shalt hallow it, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. Yahweh introduced the anointing oil to the spiritual Israel of today at Gilead Center in Turner, Texas, in 1970. The anointing oil was not introduced to the Rod period from 1930 to 1970. Well, actually, I said it wasn't. Ben Roden introduced it. Whenever after V.T. Hollis died, and Ben Roden set up his temple out there across town from the old Mount Carmel. And he had the anointing procedure for his temple. But Brother Johnson had the true anointing was given to him. And he was supposed to duplicate what Moses did right here in Exodus chapter 40. Brother Johnson was supposed to duplicate that procedure. And that's the reason I'm reading it to you, apparently. Exodus 40 verse 10. And thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all his vessels and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. And thou shalt anoint the laver and his foot and sanctify it. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and wash them with the water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons, and clothe them with the coats. And thou shalt anoint them, as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. So, Gilead Center was a generation of Israel. It had a 40-year period for one generation. And Lotus Johnson duplicated the raising up of the tabernacle in the wilderness like Moses did. Because he truly was sent to the wilderness, and he cried about it. And he always says, I don't want to go back to my hometown where I was raised. I spent my many years. He said, Brother Johnson owned, he just rented out his house. He owned his home there in Kermit, which was a strange thing. He didn't want to live there no more, but he didn't want to sell his property either. And Yahweh wouldn't allow it because he knew that Rose would need to go back to it. So Rose reluctantly went back. He asked for a sign. Yahweh gave him a sign, and he decided that that's what he's supposed to do, go back to Kermit. So he raised up the tabernacle there in the wilderness, and he anointed it. He was given the anointing to anoint his associate pastor, his son Daniel. He did not offer to anoint me, but nevertheless he knew that Yahweh has sent me to be his co-partner. All right enough, but he knew that, but he didn't like it. And so therefore, but he had the anointing. And he anointed his son. But I don't think he anointed all the tabernacle and all the vessels in it. I don't think he anointed or went through a sanctifying procedure for the congregation. But he did go through that with him and his son. In Exodus 40 verse 16, thus did Moses according to all that the Yahweh commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And Moses reared up the tabernacle, and fastened his sockets, and set up the boards thereof, and put in the bars thereof, and reared up his pillars. And he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent above upon it, as Yahweh commanded Moses. And he took and put the testimony into the ark, and set the stays on the ark, and put the mercy seat above upon the ark. Now when Yahweh commanded Verlus and said, "Teach my people my government," he said an audible voice spoke to him. It was just like an audible voice. "Teach my people my government." Well, that's what Yahweh told Moses to do. "Teach my people my government." And so Yahweh spent 80 days with Moses in the mount, educating Moses on the restoration of the temple and the tabernacle. It had to be in order to restore Israel and to bring forth this righteous, greatest, the most greatest nation on earth. He had to have first a tabernacle and a temple in place. Well, this is what Yahweh is calling for today, a tabernacle and a temple in place again. Okay, Exodus 40, verse 21. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil of the covering and covered the ark of the testimony as Yahweh commanded Moses. And he put the table and the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle northward without the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Yahweh as the Yahweh had commanded Moses. And he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward. And he lighted the lamps before the Yahweh, as the Yahweh commanded Moses. And he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil. And he burnt sweet incense thereon, as the Yahweh commanded Moses. And he set up the hanging at the door of the tabernacle. And he put the altar of the burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle, of the tent of the congregation, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering, as the Yahweh commanded Moses. And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and put water there to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat, when they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near and to the altar, they washed, as the Yahweh commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Yahweh filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Yahweh filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the tabernacle, for the cloud of Yahweh was upon the tabernacle by the day, and fire was on it by the night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeyings. All right, now, that ends Exodus chapter 40. We're going to skip over now, I believe. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's actually go to Deuteronomy. Let's start with chapter 1 and verse 1. We're dealing with the house of Israel. We're dealing with the name Israel, which is mentioned 2,500, I believe, in 66 times in all of the Bible. And 2,294 verses is mentioned 2,566 times. So, we're going to have fun doing this series on the rise of Israel and the fall of Babylon. Deuteronomy 1, verse 1. "These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side of Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel, and Laban and Hazeroth and Dazaab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of the Mount Seir under Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all that Yahweh had given him in commandment unto them. Now it goes that from there it goes to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which Yahweh Elohim of your fathers giveth you. And ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim which I command you. Okay, now, there you have it. Who is occupying the land before Yahweh brings Israel in to take charge of their land again? Who is occupying it? You have people that are identified as Babylonians. So anytime that Israel comes into power, and especially when they reclaim their own land that was given to them by promise and an oath, then you have the rise of Israel, and you have the fall of Babylon. So this whole series is going to be the rise of Israel and the fall of Babylon. And when Israel rebels against Yahweh, and they want to go and join their heathen brethren, the Babylonians, then Yahweh will give them over to them, and then they will fall into the hands of their Babylonian neighbors, their enemy, their heathen that they wouldn't subdue and drive out of the land. And so therefore, we've had all through the ages the rise and fall of Israel, the rise and fall of Babylon. So Deuteronomy chapter 1 says, after he had slain Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth and Edrei, on this side of Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, Yahweh Elohim spake unto you in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn ye and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites. Now, Mount Horeb is where Yahweh met Moses the first time at the burning bush. And Moses is finishing his 40 years of herding sheep. He was in the backside of the desert. He was over there by Mount Horeb. And he turned aside at the burning bush and got his new instructions and orders and a commission to go down into Egypt and deliver my people. Okay, out of the Assyrian captivity. Same thing as a Babylonian. First, Babylonian captivity was first identified as the Assyrian captivity before the Babylonian captivity succeeded that. And unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the sea side, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which Yahweh sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Now this is the same thing as saying they had to make the same preparation as we would have to make today in preparing to go into the kingdom of heaven. which is set up here on this earth. Yahweh set the kingdom of heaven up on this earth in the land of Israel for our forefathers. And they did possess that land, and they did dispossess it, and then they did possess it again, and then dispossess it again. But nevertheless, that is the kingdom of heaven here on earth. That's a designated place for it. And wherever he chooses to place his name, that is a designated place for the kingdom of heaven to be set up here on earth. If we obey all his statutes and commandments and judgments as he's commanded ancient Israel, then we can follow in the footsteps of those that crossed over into the promised land, which is the same thing as what Colossians there, and Colossians 1:13 identifies here in his last days as being translated into the kingdom of his dear son. And it says right there in Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of the darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Okay. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now, folks, all it takes to get translated into this kingdom here on earth is to obtain the redemption through his blood. And the way you do that is complete obedience unto all his statutes and judgment. That's all that is required. And as we would just quickly read over here in Deuteronomy 6:24-25, it says, and the Yahweh command us to do all these statutes, to fear the Yahweh or Elohim for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments for the Yahweh or Elohim as he hath commanded us. And we cannot have righteousness if we're not covered by the blood of Yeshua. We cannot have righteousness any time. So when you have righteousness by faith, by believing in present truth, you're automatically covered by the blood of Yahshua. You're covered by his blood. Okay, now let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 9. And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. Yahweh your Elohim hath multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for the multitude. For the Yahweh Elohim of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as he hath promised you. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? Take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And ye answered me and said, the thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribe, wise men and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and captains over fifties, and captains over ten, and officers among your tribes. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother and the stranger that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is Yahweh's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things which you should do. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness which you saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as Yahweh or Elohim commanded us. Then we came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said unto you, you are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Yahweh or Elohim doth give unto us. Now, who are the Amorites? They're the descendants of Lot. And Lot is a Hebrew, Lot was a Hebrew, a nephew of Abraham. Okay, so the Amorites are kinfolks. Behold, the Yahweh the Elohim has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. So the Amorites were dwelling in the land of Israel, in the land of Canaan. That's the reason why Yahweh told the children of Israel, go up there and take them away from, because they're heathen. And as Yahweh said unto thee, fear not, and not to be disturbed. And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of the tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain, and came unto the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out. And they took the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, it is a good land which Yahweh our Elohim doth give us. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of Yahweh your Elohim, and you murmured in your tents, and said, because Yahweh hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. Their cities are great and walled up to heaven, and moreover we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. For the Yahweh Elohim which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Yahweh the Elohim bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, and all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Yahweh your Elohim, who went in the way before you, to search you out of place, to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by the day. And the Yahweh heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Yahweh. I met Brother Johnson. He introduced himself as Joshua, as the Joshua, the son of Nun. And he says, I am the antitypical Joshua. I have been raised up to deliver the children of Israel, modern day Israel, into the land of Israel today, back into their land. I said, well, if you're Joshua, then I said, the fact that he joined me up to you at the beginning of your ministry, I said, then I must be Caleb. And boy, he reared up and he says, there's no room for two prophets in this movement. He called his thing a movement. Well, he didn't have a movement. He had the third step of the genuine movement of the Seventh-day Adventists, but he didn't have his own individual movement, because he was of the fourth group of laborers, and the fourth group of laborers had only one great movement with three steps, and he had the third step. He said, well, and he took indignation from that day forward when I told him. I said, well, I must be Caleb. And, boy, he threw it up to me over the years. He said, yeah, you claiming to be Caleb. He said, there's no room for two prophets in this church. I said, well, I didn't say I was a prophet. I just said I was Caleb means capable helper. That's what that means. And, yeah. So anyway, it says in Deuteronomy 1:37, also the Yahweh was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shalt not go and hit thither. But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither and encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which you said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge before good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. So, folks, this is a type what we're reading about, and this is a photo. This is a blueprint. This is a negative, like a forefoto. We're just going to fulfill what our forefathers started out and accomplished in their day to a certain degree, but we're going to fulfill it to the nth degree. Okay, Deuteronomy 1:40. But as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then ye answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Yahweh. We will go up and fight according to all that the Yahweh or Elohim commanded us. And when you had girded on every man his weapons of war, you were ready to go up into the hill. And the Yahweh said unto me, say unto them, go not up thither, fight, or not to fight, for I am not among you, unless you be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and you would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Yahweh, and went presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites which dwelt in the mountain came out against you, and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And you returned and wept before the Yahweh, but the Yahweh would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. So you abode in Kadesh many days, according to the days that you abode there. Okay. So in Deuteronomy 2:14, it talks about, and the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come to the, over the brook Zered was 38 years. Until all the generation of the men of war was wasted out from among the host, as Yahweh swore unto them. So how many days was it? And ye abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that ye abode there, and that those days was 38 years. So multiply 38 times 360, 365, and see what you come up with. Quite a few days. That's the end of chapter 1 of Deuteronomy. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 2. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Yahweh spake unto me, and we compassed about Seir many days. And the Yahweh spake unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn ye northward, and command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. Now, Esau was the firstborn of a Hebrew father, Isaac, but Esau is not a Hebrew, but he had a Hebrew father. He is of the seed of Ishmael, the Arab nation, just like Cain. Cain was the seed of the devil, the firstborn of Adam and Eve. But he was not of a righteous seed to be the progenitor of the righteous line, the carry on from Adam, the priesthood. So therefore, Esau was indeed it. And Deuteronomy 2, verse 6, ye shall buy meat of them for money that ye may eat, and ye shall also buy water of them for money that ye may drink. For the Yahweh the Elohim hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years, Yahweh the Elohim has been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. And when we passed by from our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, through the way of the plain, from Elath, and from Ezion-Geber. We turn and pass by the way of the wilderness of Moab, and Yahweh said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in the battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. The children of Lot are the descendants of the Hebrews. The Ems dwelt therein in times past, a people great and many and tall as the Anakim, which also were accounted giants as the Anakim. But the Moabites called them Ems, for the Horams also dwelt in Seir before time. But the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did unto the land of his possession, which the Yahweh gave unto them. So how are we going to overthrow Babylon? By the power of Yahweh through a sanctified Israel. First have to get sanctified, purified, and empowered with the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and then you can go and overthrow the whole world, which is serving Babylon. And so that's how you this will happen. But you have to go in and destroy them before you can take possession of your land. They have to be destroyed out of it. Now rise up, said I, and get you over the brook Zered. And we went over the brook Zered, and the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come over the brook Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war was wasted out from among the host, as Yahweh swore unto them. For indeed the hand of the Yahweh was against them to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. So it came to pass when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, that the Yahweh spake unto me, saying, thou art to pass over through Ar, the coast of Moab, this day. And when thou comest now over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. That also was accounted the land of giants. Giants dwelt therein in old time, and the Amorites called them Zamzummims, a people great and small and tall as the Anakim. But the Yahweh destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. And he did as he did to the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horams from before them, and they succeeded them, and dwelt in their stead, even unto this day. And the Avims, which dwelt in Haziram, even unto Azza, the Captorims, which came forth out of Captor, destroyed them, and dwelt in their stead. Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of the Heshbon, and his land began to possess it, and contend with him in the battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee, and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. And I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedemoth unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, with the words of peace, saying, let me pass through thy land. I will go along by the highway. I will neither turn unto the right hand nor to the left. Thou shalt sell me meat for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only I will pass through on my feet, and the children of Esau which dwelt in Seir, and the Moabites which dwelt in Ar, did unto me, until I shall pass over Jordan into the land which Yahweh Elohim giveth us. But Sihon king of Heshbon would not let us pass by him, for the Yahweh thy Elohim hardened his spirit, and made his heart obstinate that he might deliver him into thy hand as appeareth this day. And the Yahweh said unto me, Behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee, begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit his land. Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to fight at Jahaz. And the Yahweh Elohim delivered him before us, and we smote him and his son, and all his people, and we took all his cities at that time, and utterly destroyed the men and the women, and the little ones of every city we left none to remain. Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves, and the spoil of the city which we took from Ar-Eor, which is by the brink of the river of Arnon, and from the city that is by the river, even unto Gilead. There was not one city too strong for us. Yahweh Elohim delivered all unto us. Only unto the land of the children of Ammon thou camest not, nor unto any place of the river Jabbok, nor unto the cities in the mountains, nor unto whatsoever Yahweh Elohim forbade us. This brings into chapter 2 of Deuteronomy, and also the end of this study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour. Call us, number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Don't let that shit feel by, but it lies a day.
Don't let the ship sail by while standing on the shore. The captain knows that mighty ship is standing by the door to welcome all to come aboard. There's a room for many more. As the ship sets sail for the harbor, lights up that far off distant shore. Don't let that ship sail by. Don't let that ship sail by. For he has a pain for delivering in the sky. For the saints of all ages are riding her on high. So don't get caught standing there when that ship goes sailing by. Oh, brimmed up lighted harbor, silver ships in the sky. Let a grin of thunder sailing deep as that sweet by and by. Yes, a dream about those mansions Yah has gone to prepare. And a grin of thunder beating the lungs in the air. Don't let that ship sail by. Don't let that ship sail by. For she has a payload to the giver in the sky. For the saints of all ages are riding her on high. So don't get caught standing there when that ship goes sailing by. Don't let that ship sail by while standing on the shore. Father up the sign, read it, room for many more. For the captain of that mighty ship is standing by the door. For the welcome all the time aboard destination and shore.